Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, we read the following. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now notice what he said in verse 7. Be not deceived, watch it, God is not mocked. Today we want to talk about this. Don't mock. There are several references in the Bible to mocking, and some of those we're going to discuss today in this sermon. You see, to mock someone or to mock something is to laugh at it, to ridicule it or them, to insult them contemptuously. And you know something? You don't want to do that to God. You don't want to laugh at God or ridicule God or insult God by sowing to the flesh. You see, some men mock God by sowing to the flesh and assuming that they won't reap what they've sown. But this verse says, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And it goes both ways. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It goes either way. You see, there's a law, like the law of gravity. You understand, this is a natural law. In other words, when God designed this universe and he put some things in place, this particular law, gravity, works because that's the way God designed it. And this other law, the law of reaping and sowing, works because that's the way God designed it. And that law is you will reap what you've sown, whether it's spiritual and beneficial or whether it's carnal and harmful. If you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Why? You're born again by the Spirit of God. You're sanctified by the Spirit of God. You're justified by the Spirit of God. Likewise, when you sow to the flesh, you are going to reap what you've sown. You're going to reap corruption. So don't mock God by assuming that you can sow to the flesh and somehow get away without reaping. It won't happen. Don't mock God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14 and notice something else. And this follows right on the heels of what we've just said. Proverbs chapter 14 and look at verse 9. The Bible says, fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin. You know what? Don't mock sin. Why? Because you'll do it if you're a fool, and you don't want to be a fool. Fools make a mock at sin. Listen, sin is like a stalker. Sin is looking for prey. And when you mock it, you laugh at it. You laugh it off like, this isn't going to hurt me. I'm not going to let this thing that I'm doing take my life. But let me tell you something. Sin always hurts. Why? Because sin is a killer. The wages of sin is, fill it in for me, the wages of sin is death. Look at James chapter 1. This shows you the whole progress here. James chapter 1 verse 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Listen, you do not want to mess with sin. You don't want to mock sin. there's a lot of mocking of sin in music these days. There's a lot of mocking of sin in the movies these days. But let me tell you something. Sin is bad. Sin takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you want to pay. I realize that's somewhat cliche. You've heard those three things before. But just because you've heard them before doesn't mean that you shouldn't take heed to what they say. Sin takes you farther than you want to go. I've seen it in my own life. You've seen it in your life. You've seen it in the life of others. Somebody steps into the water just a little bit because they want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, and now they are hooked into it, and they go further than they wanted to go. Stay in it longer than they wanted to stay. And by the time they pay the price, it has cost them more than they wanted to pay. Hugh Pyle said that you always pay for cigarettes twice, when you get them and when they get you. People talk and mock sin. They talk about things like drinking. I can hold my own. I know when to quit, that kind of thing. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker. Wine is a mocker. It will mock you. It will deceive you. It will kill you. I have a friend of mine. I mean, I've met him since he's been in prison, and ministered to him a little bit. So I say he's a friend of mine. He got upset in an argument with his wife, stormed out of the house, and went down to the bar just to have a couple of belts, you know, just a little bit to drink, and mocked sin. They say don't drink and drive. I can handle this. He got in the vehicle and drove home. On his way home, he struck another vehicle, and there are two people that have gone out into eternity because of that wreck. Sin mocked him. Don't you mock sin. Wine is the mocker. All right, you better take serious consideration of these things and realize once you get started, it seems so harmless. The next thing you know, you are so far down the road, you think, how in the world did I ever get there? Listen, I've got relatives whose lives were cut short because of their involvement with sin. You don't want that. Don't mock God and don't mock sin. And turn to Proverbs chapter 30 and look at verse 17. Proverbs chapter 30 and look at verse 17. Don't mock your mom and dad. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. You know, now when the ravens of the valley pick out your eyes and the young eagles eat your eyes, you know what? You can't see. You can't see. And you know what the problem is when you mock mom and dad? Your parents have restricted you more than you want them to restrict you. They're not letting you do what you want to do. And so you mock them. Maybe not to their face, maybe so. I've seen many kids mock their parents. I remember many years ago, a young lady, she was probably 13 or 14 years old. You can't imagine the things coming out of her mouth against her mother and father. I was shocked. Listen, if you don't mock them to their face, you'll mock them behind their back. If you don't mock them behind their back, you'll mock them to your friends. What is it? They're trying to guide you in principles. They're trying to guide you in a way of life. They're trying to guide you in a way that you don't want to go. And you find their guidance restrictive. And you find their punishment abhorrent, and you say, I don't like this anymore, and you can't wait till you're out of the house so you can do your own thing. Listen, I've watched them in Bible-believing churches all over the country. I've watched them in our church here, unfortunately, get up to a certain age where they think, now I got the right, because I'm 18 years old, to make my own decisions, and now I'm going to date lost people, and I'm going to fornicate, and I'm going to drink, and I'm going to smoke, and I'm going to do my own thing. And you're mocking mom and dad because you know at every turn they're against what you're doing. They're living for the Lord, and they know that what you're doing is putting yourself in harm's way, and they're trying to stop you, and you just get mad about it. But here's what happens. When you mock your mother and you mock your father, and you despise to obey your mother, you're blinded to your own way, according to this verse. You can't see because the ravens of the valley have picked out your eyes, and the young eagles have eaten your eyes, and you can't see the harm that's coming your way. But I'm going to tell you something, because you can hear my voice if you can't see your way. There's coming a day. It always does. There's coming a day when you'll look back and you'll wish you had never mocked them. That's right. You'll look back and you'll wish you had never mocked your mother and your father. You say, how do you know that? You'll find out. The Bible wouldn't say what it says about what happens to your eyes when you mock your father and refuse to obey your mother if it didn't mean it. The Bible is always speaking the truth. Listen, don't mock God. Don't mock sin. And don't mock your mom and dad. Don't mock them. Listen, this generation, this terrible generation, they write music about this kind of stuff. You see it in the movies. You see it in the schools. People talking big and bad against mom and dad, like you're going to chart your own course and do something now that's better than anything that's ever been done before. You're filled with pride, and you can't see where you're going, and trouble's coming your way. Let me tell you something else. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, because you're probably about sick of this message right now. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't mock God's preachers. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 16. Listen to this. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. They mocked the messengers of God and despised his words. You know what happens to young people when they finally venture off into sin? They quit going to church. You know what happens to young people when they venture off into sin? They quit reading their Bibles. I've seen it so many times. For years, we were able to help in a ministry where young ladies and young men ended up trying to get help to get their lives back together. Many of them ended up there by court order because what they had done caused them to violate the law, and they were facing punishment in prison and opted for a kind of a place where they could get some help in a Christian center. In a Christian place, we used to go there and help weekly teaching the young ladies and teaching the young men from the words of God. And invariably, did you hear what I said? Invariably, I would ask this question and I would get the same answer. The question I asked, did dust start gathering on your Bible? Did you quit going to church before you got into the trouble you got into that led you here? And without fail, 100% of the time, they all said the same thing. Yes, we quit reading the Bible, we quit praying, we quit going to church, and now look at us, here we are. Don't mock God's preachers. You say, but I don't like what he has to say. Listen, God's preachers, the ones who preach the truth, his words, are sent by the Lord to lead you to Jesus and to help you grow in your eternal life. When you get saved, the Bible shows you that God doesn't put you in handcuffs and restrict you and restrain you so that you can't have another day of joy in your life. Quite to the contrary, Jesus Christ said, I've come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. What he does is he turns you away from the world, which is deceiving, and turns you into his eternal life where you can begin to enjoy his peace, his rest, his goodness, his joy, his love, his comfort, his truth, the sound mind that comes, the lack of fear, that is, of men and of the world, that comes with knowing God. It's a phenomenal life, but he's got to get you out of the one you're in and help you grow in the one that he's given you. We preach salvation. We preach against sin. We want you to live in a right relationship with God, and we want you to know the truth of God's words. Now, I'll grant you, you may not like what we have to say, and you may not like how we say it, but don't mock God's preachers who are trying to help you. Some of us talk with an accent. Some of us roar and rage. Some of us are very calm and come to you like a teacher. Listen, and you can find fault with the man. God's messengers do the best they can, but we're not perfect people. But God is perfect and His Word is perfect, and we're trying to help you. Don't mock God's preachers. They did in Chronicles, there in all Israel, God's child, mocking God's messengers, God's prophets who were trying to straighten them out, trying to point out to them where they had gotten in a wrong relationship with God, and all they did was mock them and stone them and kill them and imprison them. And you know what happened? Israel was attacked by Assyria and the 10 northern tribes. Judah was attacked by Babylonians and the 2 southern tribes, and those people were all taken captive. I bet some of them were scratching their heads later and said, man, we should have listened to those preachers. And you ought to be listening to this preacher right now. Don't you mock God. Don't you mock sin. Don't you mock your mom and dad. Don't mock God's preachers. Why? Because we're here to help you. Now, I know what it is to mock the man of God. I can remember years ago walking across the street in San Antonio, Texas, in a plaza area. I was with a friend of mine, and there was a preacher preaching on the street corner there. And I turned to my friend and said, look at that nut. You know what I did? I mocked God's preacher. And boy, there were some things that man was preaching. If I had heeded that day, would have kept me out of a lot of trouble. The funny thing is, years later, God caught me, and I surrendered later to preach and ended up in Bible college. And while I was there, that same friend, many years later, was in a nearby city from where I was going to school. And he contacted me, said, why don't we get together and we'll get a bite to eat for lunch? I said, that'd be great. And when we met in the city where I would preach regularly on the street at noon to businessmen who were letting out of their buildings. And I said, you know what, while we're here, because we're in the downtown area where I preach, I said, while we're here, why don't you just stop for a few moments? Let me preach a little bit to these guys that are getting out for lunch, and then you and I will get our lunch. So he listened to me preach, and afterwards we went into the restaurant, and he started laughing. He said, do you remember many years ago? I had forgotten. Do you remember many years ago, that time we were walking across the street in San Antonio, and you saw that preacher on the street corner preaching the Word of God, and you looked at me and said, look at that nut? He said, you know what I've seen today? I've seen another nut on a street corner preaching the Word of God. I had mocked God's preachers, and in time, thank God, had become one of them. Let me tell you something. Don't mock God's preachers. The ones who preach the truth, they're trying to help you. I'll tell you something else. Don't mock God's people. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Don't mock God's people. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're reading about those heroes of the faith, if you will. And in verse 35 and 36, 35 for the context, 36 for the word mock or mocking or mocked. Listen. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Talk about God's men, God's people, women and men tortured and mocked and scourged and imprisoned. You know something? Don't mock God's people. God's people have always been the brunt of the world's mocking. Why? Because the world hates God's people. But you better remember that there's a day coming when the Lord is going to return. And when He does, He's going to come with the armies in heaven who are going to return with Him. You see, in Revelation chapter 19, we read about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning with verse 11, the Bible says in Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Watch it. Verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. There's an army coming with the Lord when he comes back, and you might want to check your Bible to find out who's in this army before you go on mocking God's people. Why? As the saying goes, what goes around comes around. You see, God's people put up with your ridicule every day in hopes that you might repent and turn to God. And you look at that and mock our forbearance. Don't you do that. We put up with your nonsense and attempt to preach the gospel so that you'll come around and get saved. I've got a friend of mine. One day he and I were riding down the road together, and I'd been preaching to him, and he said, "You know what? Stop the car. I want to receive Jesus Christ." But before he prayed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, he said, "You know something? I can't go through with this." I said, "Why not?" He said, "I don't want the boys at the coffee shop to say the same thing about me that we've been saying about you." You know what they were doing? They were mocking one of God's people. And he didn't want to come out on the receiving end of that mocking. Well, let me tell you something. It's easy for you to mock right now and make fun of God's people. Read those books that Richard Dawkins and others put out, mocking God, mocking God's preachers, mocking God's people. You think you're so smart because you've got a college education and you know how to use a few philosophical terms that they say are scientific to make yourself believe that this entire universe got here by an accident and not by design, and that God had nothing to do with it. And you just laugh at us because we believe God created the universe, and we believe there's a heaven, and we believe there's a hell. You just laugh and go on. Let me tell you something. You don't want to do that. The people who are living for God are trying to help you. You may say, "Well, there's hypocrites." Well, there's hypocrites in your scientific community too, okay? So just get off that trip. God's perfect and his words are perfect. And though his people aren't perfect, they certainly understand that you're going to be better off by trusting Jesus Christ than you will go in the direction you're going. So don't mock us. And then I'll show you something else. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And look at verse 29. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 29. You know what they did to Jesus Christ right before they crucified him? When they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Now, there are so many people who blaspheme God by taking his name in vain. You can almost not get a Hollywood movie produced if there's not some place in that movie where God's name is taken in vain. They mock Jesus Christ by using his name as an expletive and by reducing him to a fairy tale, saying, "Oh, he's no more real than Santa Claus." And they think they can live free from righteousness by mocking him. But I'm going to tell you something. The table is going to turn. That's right. You see, you're laughing right now. You're ridiculing Jesus Christ right now. You think you're big stuff and you get other people to go along with you and y'all are all having a big time at the expense of Jesus Christ. But you've forgotten something. You've forgotten something, or maybe you didn't know it, so I'll tell you what it is. The table's going to turn. Proverbs 1:26 says, "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." What's the context? Verse 24, "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you." You know what the Lord's saying? Go ahead and laugh. You laugh and make all the fun of me you want to make. Buddy, there's a day coming when I'm coming back and I'm going to show you some desolation and I'm going to show you some calamity and I'm going to show you some destruction and I'm going to show you some distress and I'm going to show you some anguish. And you're going to cry out in fear, and I'm going to cross my hands, metaphorically, and laugh and mock when your fear cometh. You know what the old saying is? He who laughs last, laughs loudest. He who laughs last, laughs best. He who laughs last, laughs longest. Yeah, you're laughing now. Oh, listen to that preacher. Yeah, all about heaven and hell. Yeah, don't mock God's son. Don't mock God's son. You hadn't heard laughter till you hear the creator of the universe laughing where his laughter can be heard throughout the entire universe. You don't want him laughing at you. You don't want him mocking at you. Rather than mock God and his son, you should receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and find out why we are willing to put up with your foolish mocking. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever considered why Christians stand in and put up with your nonsense? We do it because what we have in Jesus Christ is far better than what you will ever have with the devil in this world. That's right. We know the outcome. We know the end. Right now, we are the current possessors of eternal life. We have strength and peace and comfort and fellowship with the Lord. And we listen to you mock and we think how sad and you think how ridiculous. But you see, there's a day coming when Jesus returns and we all spend eternity with him, enjoying all of the benefits of eternal life. You wind up in hell with the devil, and now he cruelly laughs at you and says, you didn't know this was coming. I'm telling you, it is. Listen, the devil and this world are coming to an end. The devil's going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire. You don't want to spend your eternity there, I can promise you that. We're going to live throughout eternity in the blissful glory of God's presence forever, free from sin, free from death, and free from hell. You know what? I wouldn't mock that if I were you. I wouldn't mock the preacher if I were you. I wouldn't mock God's son. I wouldn't mock God's word. I wouldn't mock God. I wouldn't mock God's people. Why? We have something you need. You think it's funny right now. I think you better sober up and listen carefully to what you've heard and consider that right now you could repent, receive Jesus Christ, and have eternal life forever. That is a good thing, and don't mock it.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.